sport. It's cartoon level on the level of Joe Biden runs the country. Now, I just saw earlier today the video of them in Nantucket, and literally they're walking down the street and just chants of "Let's go, Brandon." Chants of "Let's go, Brandon." That's how beloved Joe Biden is. 81 million votes. The most beloved president of all time, the most voted for president of all time. And you just got to accept it. You've got to play pretend, because we're in pretend town now. You got to pretend that Anthony Fauci is the greatest guy ever. And by the way, I've got a ton of videos on the second end of this that we're going to, I might torture you guys and do a watch along with Face the Nation. Most of it, I can't play on YouTube, period. So really, anything Fauci-ian is generally going to have to be in the second hour, unfortunately. I want to put it out there, but you just can't on this channel. You have to bow down to Fauci because, you know, Fauci, actually what I can play, and we are going to play. Let's see what we got here. Sorry, folks. Red Voice producer, Podbean not up. Seems like it's on their end trying to fix it. Okay. All right. Okay, so there we go. No big deal. Dr. Fauci has his own child's book. I mean, this is something we can play. This is the reality you're supposed to accept, that people love Dr. Fauci. Okay.
Time to get uplifted. Today we are featuring a well-known D.C. resident. In fact, he's been the face of America's response to the coronavirus pandemic and now the main character in a children's book. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I mean, talk about the crazy is real. The crazy is real. The crazy is real. They made a kid's book of Anthony. First of all, let's go back. I mean, I would hate to be in mainstream news and entertainment. Can you imagine? Hey, everybody. Can you imagine having to be this fake? Put on, I may look rough. I may sound rough today. Okay. I may be rough around the edges all the time. At least I'm genuine. At least I'm a real person. Hey, y'all, you love Dr. Fauci. Hey. My God.
Time to get uplifted. Today we are featuring a well-known D.C. resident. In fact, he's been the face of America's response to the coronavirus pandemic and now the main character in a children's book. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci. The book is titled Dr. Fauci, How a Boy from Brooklyn Became America's Doctor.
How a Boy from Brooklyn Became America's Doctor. Yeah, Dr. Fauci. I can't.
Book chronicles the doctor's life and provides important information on vaccines for children. A write-up on the book calls it the definitive picture book biography for Fauci. It follows the doctor from
you know, the definitive picture book on the life of Anthony Fauci for children, for kids, because kids love Dr. Fauci. He's the next best thing to Santa Claus.
And he was just a kid in Brooklyn through medical school and his career working with 7 presidents. The book also has his facts about vaccines and provides tips for kids who want to be scientists. So the book is already available for pre-sale and it'll be released on June 29th.
So again, look at this woman. She's smiling. It's happy fun time. It's let's get uplifted. Hey. And they got to act. I hope and pray that these people don't actually feel this way behind closed doors.
I think that is fitting and perfect. And I love the fact that it'll be digestible for younger readers.
Exactly. I look forward to this. Dr. Fauci has become
you know, a household name. I mean, during this past year, right. we've watched the news, we've talked about it with our kids, and they're learning about it in school. And so it just provides a little more context and perspective for the little ones in words that they can understand and digest. So this is fantastic.
And it will inspire this next generation. There, I just feel it. There will be scientists, doctors, epidemiologists, whatever.
So Dr. Fauci and his child's book are going to be inspirational for the next generation of scientists and doctors. Cartoon Town.
Come out of reading this book. I just know it. So absolutely. I want to share things that uplift you like that uplifts.
I can't. Hey, y'all, get uplifted. Yeah. Woo, we love Dr. Fauci. So, you know, this story that I'm just going to briefly hit on, and I'm hitting on it because crazy exists. Crazy exists. And I think that this is actually a story that shows it's not just the cartoon we live in, but people are mentally ill, man. Like, mental illness is crazy. And people are calling this rich white boy justice in this article. I don't know that that's it, because Austin Haroff will be sent to a mental facility instead of prison for the double murder of John and Michelle Mishkin Stevens at their Florida home in 2016. Now, this is the person. He was eating the guy's face. Okay. Beat that. He was eating the guy's face. That could be a crazy person. Like, where do you draw the line on what crazy actually is? Apparently, it's no longer shaving your head like an alien, stealing women's luggage, wearing a mustache and a dress. You don't draw the line there. Eating somebody's face? Maybe. Is that where you draw the crazy line? I don't know. Is it crazy that you're getting uplifted with Dr. Fauci and his child's book they're putting out there? I have no clue. The line is so blurred. By the way, almost 200 watching on YouTube. Let's get the thumbs up. Let's get 100 thumbs up, guys. I know I'm not the top of my game right now, but we're going to play some more clips here. And one of the things I talk about a lot is the Internet of Bodies. And this is a Rand Corporation clip. It's about 4 minutes long. I'll probably jump in here and there explaining what the Internet of Bodies really is. Because when I talk about this stuff and where they're trying to take you, when we talk about biomedical tyrannies, and they tell you here that that's a very real possibility with this technology, that's what the Internet of Bodies means to me. Surveillance under the skin, total track trace database movement. All right. With these technologies that you can't get rid of. That's it. That's a rap show. You get it? All right. Let's do it.
In the 20th century, wireless technology integrated with the human body was nothing more than science fiction. But today, Wi-Fi connected devices like heart rate monitors and sleep trackers have become common parts of American life. How has bionic technology evolved so quickly from science fiction to reality? And what could this Internet of Bodies mean for our lives moving forward? RAND researchers are studying this phenomenon and what consumers and policymakers need to know as we veer into uncharted territory.
The Internet of Bodies, or IOB, is actually an ecosystem. It's a bunch of devices that are connected to the internet that contain software and that either collect personal health data about you or can alter the body's function. We think of the Internet of Bodies as this collection of all these devices, as well as all the data that the devices are gathering about you. And in healthcare, it's Internet of Bodies has been around for quite a while. With the advent of the internet, it makes a lot of sense to connect your pacemaker to the internet so that your doctor can be automatically notified if something weird happens, if there's an anomaly. It's natural in a lot of ways to want to understand more about your body, how it functions, how well it's doing.
IOB devices could revolutionize healthcare. Unprecedented amounts of personal health data could inform treatment plans that are completely tailored to a patient's needs.
Unprecedented amounts of data in real time about your biology going to pharmaceutical and government institutions. Great idea, but brilliant. Yeah, really what we should strive for.
There are pills now that have an electronic sensor that let a healthcare provider know whether you have taken the medication.
Oh, you take your medication? Oh, you better take your medication. I know when you take your medication. This is not science fiction. This is now, now, now. In fact, after this, I'm going to show you some of the DARPA Pentagon scientists. You know, DARPA, you know, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and these microchip sensors, okay?
Other things like precision medicine. So precision medicine is the idea of creating pharmaceuticals or treatment like specifically for your body, for your personalized treatment. And I think IOB could really help with that because nowadays a lot of healthcare is based more on, you know, average reactions, whereas with data from IOB devices, you might be able to really more precisely treat a certain disease.
But the Internet of Bodies won't be a cure-all. In fact, the largely unregulated market poses risks to the uniquely sensitive data these devices collect.
First of all, there's the cyber risk of an actor potentially hacking into the system, whatever it might be. There's the privacy risk of all this data that's being collected, and the regulations about that data are really murky at the moment. And so there's not a lot of clarity into who owns the data, what happens to it, who it gets sold to, how it's being used.
No, there is clarity. It's wide open. That's the clarity, all right? You have no right to your own information. So forget about just bad actors. What about the institutions themselves that are inherently corrupt? That's a big problem for me. That's a big problem.
And there's even potentially national security and global security risks.
A few examples of these risks have already played out in real life. For instance, in 2018, highly sensitive information about U.S. military activity and base locations was inadvertently revealed by soldiers' fitness trackers. So this is a pivotal moment. What can we do to make sure we reap the potential benefits of the Internet of Bodies without risking our privacy, security, and personal autonomy?
Completely impossible. It's completely impossible. That's the reality, okay? But they always spin it. It's like you're going to have superpowers. Everything's going to be awesome. Robots are going to do everything for you. Elon Musk tells you the Optimus bot is going to make it so you're literally going to be able to have whatever you want. It's all empty, false promises that are literally driven at our base desires, what we want to believe. We want to believe this. Reality and history reflect a entirely different narrative than the ones they constantly sell you. Okay? Just look behind. Just look into history and what they say. Okay? We play that Walter Cronkite clip, and it's an important clip because back in that day, oh, you're going to have 30-hour work weeks. Month-long vacations are going to be the norm. No, that's not what happened.
Consumers should be wary of IOB devices because as it's becoming more and more popular, all of this intimate data is being collected, arguably more intimate data than we've ever really recorded before. There's no clarity on what is being done with that data. You know, with an old mechanical pacemaker, there's no data that was being collected and stored. And you could look at a history of someone's heart rhythms. Because policy tends to lag behind innovative technologies like this, it's probably up to the consumers and to the healthcare patients to really be aware of the devices that they're using and what is happening to their data and to know what the regulations are in their particular state, because it does vary so much state by state. Even if you think you're not interesting or that nothing will happen with your data, there are a lot of unknowns that I think we need to be careful about.
So in other words, what she's telling you there is the notion is of I'm not that important, or what's another good way to say this? If I'm not doing anything wrong, I don't have anything to worry about. Okay, they're constantly trying to sell you on this idea. Oh, you're not that important. Who's listening to you? Right? Bill Gates sits there and jokes about what the quote unquote conspiracy theories of wanting to track people. But the Internet of Bodies is real. It's very, very real. We already live in a track, trace, database society, the likes of which has never been seen in human history, at least recorded human history. Okay, period. So this next clip is going to be basically Pentagon scientists telling you that, don't worry, we've got a microchip that's going to sense the COVID.
So this technology involves making the RNA, which is the a molecule that provides information to the cells of the body to produce the antigen. This is such a different technology. It's very, very different from conventional ones. The main advantage is that with this technology, with the same production process, involving the same production of RNA purification and formulation, you can produce virtually any RNA molecule, which then translates into basically any vaccine candidate. So you can produce vaccines against virtually anything, both currently known and unknown diseases. So even if there's a new threat in the future, you know, a new unknown virus, which is currently unknown, let's call it disease X, if there's a new threat in the future.
So this is a clip that is completely different. That's how on point we are today than what I thought. It's totally mislabeled. But what he's telling you is true. So if you, let's see, do we have it right here? I think we do. Yeah, we got it. We'll do it live. This is really part of the mRNA strategic collaboration program, you know, with people like AstraZeneca, Merck, Vertex, BARDA, DARPA, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Pasteur Institute, right? And that's all here. And right here, let's see. Maybe I can get it right from that. No, that's not what I want. It's going to take a second to load. But in this, it talks about basically being able to sequence these things. There we go. Even in the cases when the pathogen or infectious agent is unknown. Okay, this is the DARPA program. That's what mRNA was. This is in 2013. They partnered with Moderna. I mean, take it for as you will. Let's continue with this guy.
With this technology, you can respond a lot quicker to produce a vaccine candidate. Both of these vaccines use the same platform technology. And if they gain regulatory approval, that will be a huge step, you know, a huge validation of this new technology. So these will be the first vaccines, if they get approved, that get approval with this. That are being produced with this technology. So both require low temperatures, but the Moderna one is less low. So that means that it can be distributed slightly easier. So it can reach slightly more remote places. And you know, this low temperature distribution is especially a challenge in developing countries.
So yeah, again, I guess this was a completely separate clip. I hope I don't get banned on YouTube for playing a clip about that, by the way. I don't even like to say the V word on this at all. I hate it. So I've got some Rand Paul exchanges that I wanted to bring up via Fauci in the next hour, okay? Because I'm not sure I want to watch this whole thing with Face the Nation and lauding Fauci. I do want to play this guy here, that is replacing Fauci, talking about his love for Fauci and how much he can't live without Fauci and how great Fauci is. And then their narrative that they're running with. But again, not a place for YouTube, unfortunately. You just can't play it anymore. So what I'm going to do now is I've got the Central Bank Digital Currency and Social Credit Score System. To talk about. And this is a clip from Davos a few months ago. We've recently been talking about this IMF executive also talking about it. In fact, we might play this clip first. Actually, maybe we'll play this one second. Okay, this is a newer clip, but it's right there. And it tells you that you have a programmable token system, which is a great idea, especially if we have the Internet of Bodies going. And that's literally integrated into your body. Forget about just having a device. You got nanobots rolling through your body, right? It's just going to be hooked into your biology, okay? So this is the next step for that. CBD, and I know, sounds like something out of a science fiction novel. But CBDCs and social credit, here we go.
And I think we didn't talk about yet, there are two ways on central bank digital currencies. One is the wholesale piece. So basically, our interactions as a commercial bank with the central bank. And here, I would say it makes a lot of sense. This is new technology coming in. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it, advantage, disadvantage. But at the end, it's an efficiency game. And maybe it's a security game. Makes a lot of sense. A completely different ball game it is when you start to talk about the retail. You know, central bank digital currency, not because it's digital. I can pay this digital with my mobile, has nothing to do with central bank digital currency. But I think the fundamental change is the underlying business model is as a retail customer, as a citizen, will have an account with the central bank. I don't have just an account with a commercial bank. I have it with the central bank.
Ooh, the central bank. Isn't that great? Centralized control. Okay, that's what they've wanted for a very long time. Again, a system where every transaction is tracked, traced, data-based, taxed, obviously. But it goes even further than that.
Which has a lot of advantages for me. It's safe, it feels good. But yeah, there are some challenges.
Safe and feels good. Yeah, central banks. Safe and feels good. It's like a beer commercial.
With this, because a central bank is ultimately, you know, it's a public office. Commercial banks are under a commercial regime. Central banks are not under a commercial regime. What about interest rates on an account like that? When things are going well, how does this look like? Oh, on a bank run, how does this look like? Is this accelerating the bank run because I have a safe account with somebody? So these are then the fundamental questions. That's why I think it's excellent to see that 90%, 87%, I think, central banks are looking into that and try. And we need to figure out how that all can work.
So he's outwardly telling you here, the vast majority, I think it's 87%, 90%, are looking into this system. They want this system. And why wouldn't they want this system? Because it's a system in which they dictate in every aspect how much currency and what you can do with that currency you're allotted. Period. Wow.
But having said what is ongoing, I think we are now what for 10 years, 15 years in that new call it technology, blockchain. We see now the market is collapsing. Okay, let's see in 5 or 10 years, something will survive. Something will survive, and I think we should all make sure we understand what that will be.
So let's talk about what that will be. This guy lays it right out.
The third way we think CBDC can improve financial inclusion is through what we call programmability. That is, CBDC can allow government agencies and private sector players to program, to create smart contract, to allow targeted policy functions. For example, welfare payment. For example, consumption coupon. For example, food stamp. By programming CBDC, those money can be precisely targeted for what kind of people can own and what kind of use this money can be utilized, for example, for food. So this potential programmability can help government agencies to precisely target their support.
Think about that. I mean, precisely target their support. Talking about a global welfare system. Talking about telling what they can spend it on via their food. I mean, talk about frightening and scary. My God.
To those people who need support. So that way can also improve financial inclusion. Of course, I want to end with a caveat, because CBDC is not a panacea. CBDC cannot solve every challenge in financial inclusion. There are some aspects of financial inclusion is not related to technology. For example, financial literacy, digital literacy. So CBDC has to work with other policies together to try to improve financial inclusion.
So let me translate that part about financial inclusion. That means there'll be separate rules, okay, for those in control and power. That's their out in the CBDC system. That's, you know, they're always talking about digital literacy and knowing what information you're giving up. You're talking about a very, very, very minute part of the population that takes any real safeguards against this track trace database system, period. Okay. That's the real issue. And we go along with it. We go along with it all the time. We're in crazy town, as I've shown you throughout this. We're in crazy town. So I've got this clip of Rand Paul, and it is Rand Paul back in May talking to Secretary Mayorkas about misinformation and disinformation. I was going through a bunch of clips this morning, and I thought to myself, you know, this is a really good one, because I'm constantly hearing about misinformation and disinformation. I mean, it's part of the regular vernacular now. It's everywhere. Everywhere. You challenge the great narrative, misinformation, disinformation, and now, of course, malinformation. Wow, that's great. So here's Rand Paul being a champion among men.
And number two, is it your proposition that when the cartels spread disinformation with respect to our immigration policies to try to lure vulnerable migrants to our border illegally?
I think you've got no idea what disinformation is, and I don't think the government's capable of it. Do you know who the greatest propagator of disinformation in the history of the world is? The U.S. government. Are you familiar with McNamara, the Pentagon Papers? Are you familiar with George W. Bush and the weapons of mass destruction? Are you familiar with Iran-Contra? I mean, think of all the debates and disputes we've had over the last 50 years in our country. We work them out by debating them. We don't work them out by the government being the arbiter. I don't want you guardrails. I want you to have nothing to do with speech. You think?
Exactly. I want you to have nothing to do with speech.
We can't determine, you know, speech by traffickers is disinformation. You think the American people are so stupid they need you to tell them what the truth is? You can't even admit what the truth is with the Steele dossier. I don't trust government to figure out what the truth is. Senator, government is largely disseminating disinformation.
Yes, correct. Correct. And that's why I like Rand Paul, man. No one else is saying anything like that to their face in a poignant fashion, bullet point by bullet point. There isn't anybody else. There isn't anybody else. And if you are betting on ministers of real disinformation, For instance, if you think that Mike Pompeo is a good guy, I know that Mike Pompeo's speaking a lot of these conservative events. He's getting ready to run for president. This guy was the CIA director. Okay? We lied. We cheated. We stole. We had entire courses on it. Mike Pompeo ain't your friend. He ain't your buddy guy.
I was the CIA director. We lied. We cheated. We stole. It's like we had entire training courses.
I mean, think about how pompous Pompeo is. I'm going to let him say it again. He says it. It's so funny. This has another one of those fact checks because RT is the one that put it out there. And it's like, it wasn't an RT event. They're just the only ones that would play this.
I was the CIA director. We lied. We cheated. We stole. It's like we had entire training courses.
And now, you know, he gets applause for this. And he tells about the wonders of the American experiment.
It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
The American experiment, the glory, Mike Pompeo, and the glory of the American experiment by lying, cheating, and stealing. Can you imagine if you as a parent and you're trying to instill values in your kids and their country, the American experiment, lying, cheating, and stealing. That's the glory, kid. That's how you want to raise them. Mike Pompeo. So we've been talking about the crazy here for some time. We just showed some World Economic Forum stuff, some CBDC stuff. And for those that don't know, Davos had this whole series about how awesome the Great Reset was. Okay, you've seen some of them, but they were targeting kind of like this millennial audience, and they even came up with a thing called the Davos Daily with some influencer, Lily Singh, okay? And the graphics are over the top on most of them. This is a short clip, but this is another like, hey, y'all! Oh, yeah, hey, y'all!
What's going on? I'm Lily, and this is the Davos Daily, your go-to source for the biggest highlights of the Davos agenda.
Your go-to source for the biggest highlights of the Davos agenda. It's got a crazy backbeat, huh?
From the top.
When public health issues become politically charged, like wearing a mask or not becomes a political statement, you cannot imagine how destructive that is to any unified public health message.
I completely agree. Wearing a mask is not political. It's responsible. Also, I break out all the time and a mask covers it. It's a win-win.
So I have zits and I love Anthony Fauci. The Davos Daily. Hey, y'all!
Women in particular have been badly affected by job losses and extra burdens of care. We also see fragility in the climate and biodiversity crisis.
Oh, the climate and biodiversity crisis. They're making up words at the biodiversity crisis. The biodiversity crisis.
Those are existential threats, and those are getting worse. We are waging war on nature and destroying our life support system, and nature is striking back.
Obviously, Mother Nature is striking back. If my Indian mom has taught me anything...
Obviously, Mother Nature is striking back. It's obvious. I mean, look at this outfit. Lily Singh knows. And if there's anything that her Indian mother has taught her, you gotta, everything's about your race, okay? My Indian mother. What in the world is this? This is the agenda. Hey, y'all.
It's that a mother will put you in your place. So check out my girl Greta. Tell it like it is.
Today, we hear nations and leaders all over the world speak of an existential climate emergency.
You mean puppets and losers, not leaders of nations. Puppets and losers, Greta. Puppets and losers are saying that.
And yet, instead of taking the immediate action you would in any emergency, they set up vague, hypothetical, distant targets way into the future. Targets based on loopholes and incomplete numbers.
Who do you think sends Greta, like, the email script to read? You think she's saying this off the top of her head? Of course not. This is the Davos Daily. This is the agenda. They're bragging about it.
Targets like net zero emissions 2050. Targets that equal surrender.
Every time I lose faith in humanity, I look at people like Greta and my faith gets restored.
Every time I lose faith in humanity. Guys, I'm never going to lose faith in humanity. You know why? Because people may suck, and they do. I suck sometimes. But really, humanity is an extension of love and your family and interactions with other human beings. Think about how empty life would be without other human beings. And as crazy as everything is and as dark as things can get, right? I smile when I get a text from my niece. I smile when I'm at the volleyball game, or I smile when it's Thanksgiving dinner time and I'm spending it with loved ones. And I think most of us do. And we don't look to Greta Thunberg to restore our faith in humanity. I mean, this shit is so corny. It's over the top. But this is where we're at, man. We're in a total celebritard culture. We have been for some time. Bent the knee and worshiped false idols and fame. Okay, and now we're in biodiversity land from influencers and millennials.
Thankfully, Greta's not alone, and things don't have to stay this way.
There is a very strong awareness by people that climate change is an issue that must be dealt with as a matter of priority. More than 70% in 16 largest countries want climate change and the fight against it to be the priority.
Like, where are these numbers coming from? But it's okay, because we got a graphic on a phone where we're watching that video.
Unions already knew the crisis we face before the pandemic hit. The climate emergency, historical levels of inequality driving exclusion, anger.
Historical levels of inequality driving exclusion. Listen to these people talk. It's over the top. It's kooky.
And despair. And COVID-19 laid that bare. So we've got choices now. Will people be at the forefront with their environment of a new social contract, or will we see business as usual? So this week is very important.
She's got my vote. If ever it needed saying, twice. I'm gonna be real with you. If you're like me, sometimes hearing all this stuff can feel overwhelming and you don't know what to do. But the thing is, if we come together, we can all do something. It's so important now more than ever to pay attention and to act. That's just a taste of what we've got in store for you, and there's so much more to come. Keep yourself in the loop each day with the Davos Daily right here online on YouTube.
The Davos Daily. I haven't checked out the Davos Daily in some time. Wonder if they're still running it. That's got to be like a year plus old. But it's the same narrative, right? Anthony Fauci rocks. Greta Thunberg's the best. We're killing the planet. Human beings are terrible. Yada, yada, yada. That's where we're at. So I got another couple insane stories for you. Don't worry. Okay. Make it make sense. Woke professor of pediatrics says children should be banned from getting tattoos, but it's fine for them to have a sex change surgery and take puberty blockers. Okay. Okay. Dr. Cora Bruner, a professor and pediatrician at Seattle Children's Hospital, said, children under 18 don't have the agency to decide to get a tattoo. Bruner was commenting on a case involving a Crystal Thomas, a New York woman who was arrested after allowing her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo. And yeah, 10-year-old kids should not be getting tattoos. But hey, genitally mutilating them forever, that's okay. No tattoos. Yeah, and I get it. And you know, this is somebody right here who did the whole transitioning thing from female to male, but later regretted her procedure and detransitioned. I mean, that may be a possibility for a female. And I don't know whether she got like a double mastectomy before that, but certainly not an option for a male. Outrage as Children's Wisconsin Hospital hires trans activists as religious chaplains and spiritual care interns who believe that God is actually transgender. You can't make this up. There they are. They got crazy pronouns. They believe God is transgender, apparently. And look, if their God is someone like Baphomet, kind of is, right? They think both genitalia. But again, it's not about transgender. It's about transhuman. That's where they are pushing this. Believe the hype, because that's the real deal. Okay? That's why we live in this clown show, because they're trying to detach us from reality all over and not allow you to question what's really going on. You have to believe that Joe Biden runs the country, not that he's a poopy pants puppet, period. You can't believe that, okay? Yeah, you've got to believe that Kamala Harris is actually qualified to be vice president, just like the baggage thief is qualified to be the DOE rep, the Department of Energy rep, okay? You have to believe that. You have to believe that. Sorry, guys, I am feeling rough. Oh, I don't think I've ever coughed so much on air. I hope by tomorrow this is all gone. You know, and there was a time where you had to believe this cough could have been deadly. Could have killed your entire neighborhood. Could have taken out grandma. You had to believe that. You have to go along with these narratives. Let's see. I wanted to go down the line here. A couple other stories I didn't hit. I should have hit this week. Larry Kudlow, Biden's climate reparation scam is a terrible idea. No kidding. It is all a scam, and it's not Biden. Okay, Biden doesn't run anything. He's just an adherent criminal, a generational, you know, gangster frontman for these people. So, of course, he's going to go along with this idea of climate reparations, which is really along the idea of what? A carbon-based social credit score system where you are enslaved and beholden to it, period. Let's see what we got here. And this is the clip I really want to play. I can't get away with playing it on YouTube because I'm just going to want to say too many things. This guy's gushing over Fauci. Totally gushing. I also wanted to go over this, but probably can't say what I want to say about this over on YouTube at all. So you know what? We might be moving it over to the premium about 10 minutes earlier. In fact, I think we are, because I've got plenty more Fauci clips that I want to play. Rand Paul taking on Fauci. Rand Paul talking about world government. We're going to do that. We could show the fun deep fake of Klaus Nutschwab as Dr. Evil. That'll be fun before we go, huh? We give the people what they want. That's what we do, right? Like that. This is quality right here. I mean, whoever did this did an amazing job with the Reface app, and Klaus, just fantastic, really. Okay, so we could play that. We're going to drop off. We're going to play some of that Face the Nation with Fauci as well, but can't say what I want here on these platforms. So, I'm going to throw it to my producers, and one at a time, we're going to leave these other platforms. I want to remind you guys to come over to redvoicemedia.com/Jason, redvoicemedia.com/Jason for $10 a month. You get myself and so many other great people over at Red Voice Media. They're supporting the broadcast. Thank you guys for supporting the broadcast. And remember, every day that we do this, you can still listen over at Podbean right now live through the whole show. And then 2 weeks later, we release the video. So Red Voice Media every day has a new second hour for me, Monday through Thursday as well, that you can watch totally for free, but consider supporting us. So Rockfin, we will see you later. Goodbye, YouTube. Arrivederci, XSplit, and Rumble. It's been real. Good old Rumble. And guys, I'm going to just wait a minute so they can catch up over there. And from here, we're going to play this Rand Paul taking on Fauci. A lot of people have been talking about the fact that there's going to be hearings, and even Fauci himself was talking about the fact that, you know, he's going to cooperate with all these hearings. I think they're on the road to nowhere. I just want to be real, because they're still basically, it's a Fauci love fest, period. It's a Fauci love fest, and it's been a Fauci love fest for way too long. So here is a full exchange between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci from several months ago. It's quality.
Economy or of science is risky because of the fallibility of the planner. It would not be so catastrophic if the planner were simply one physician in Peoria. Then the mistakes would only affect that physician's patients, the people who chose that physician. But when the planner is a government official like yourself who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful. A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him. In an email exchange with Dr. Collins, you conspire, and I quote here directly from the email, to create a quick and devastating published takedown of three prominent epidemiologists.
I mean, seriously. And we played the, you know, Francis Collins clip with him, poof, coronavirus. These people are insane. It's crazy town.
From Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Apparently, there's a lot of fringe epidemiologists at Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. And you quote in the email that they, or from Dr. Collins, and you agree that they are fringe. And immediately, there's this takedown effort. A published takedown, though, you know, doesn't exactly conjure up the image of a dispassionate scientist. Instead of engaging them on the merits, you and Dr. Collins sought to smear them as fringe and take them down, and not in journals, in lay press. This is not only antithetical to the scientific method, it's the epitome of cheap politics, and it's reprehensible, Dr. Fauci. Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
The email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me. If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it, I can do it. We got something in Wired magazine.
No, no. Oh, boy. Just the classics here. Fauci taking off his mask. Rand Paul giving it to him.
Oh, I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Did you ever object to Dr. Collins' characterization of them as fringe? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're not fringe, they're esteemed scientists, and it would be beneath me
I did not
do that. You responded to him that you would do it, and you immediately got an article in Wired, and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific publications.
That's not what went on. You go again.
That
you just do the same thing every year.
That was your response. And so, this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take
you're
down people.
You're incorrect. As usual, Senator, are incorrect. Almost everything you said.
Well, no, you deny. You deny. Right. But the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Five of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature? Were they were describing, oh, there's no way this could
that
have come from the lab?
That was not me. What
did
I
you
did,
talk with any of those
see,
scientists privately?
Again, you know, Fauci he's a terrible person. I'm just going to say that. I'm not a fan of Anthony Fauci. I'm not happy he had a children's book.
You keep distorting the truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately?
Yes.
Who wrote the opinion? You did. Well, what were they telling you privately?
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So you, not only are you distorting it, you are completely turning it around.
And again, total bullshit. This guy has promoted the zoological bat bullshit from the beginning. Okay? Continually saying that the consensus is that this is a natural virus.
For most of the scientists that came to you privately, did they come to you privately and say, no way, this came from the lab? Or was their initial impression, Dr. Gary and others that were involved, was their initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
Senator, we are here at a committee to look at a virus now that has killed almost 900,000 people. And the purpose of the committee was to try and get things out, how we can help to get the American public. And you keep coming back to personal attacks on me that have absolutely no relevance to reality.
Do you think anybody has had more influence over our response to this than you have? Do you think it's a great success? Do you think it's a great success what's happened so far? Do you think the lockdowns are good for our kids? Do you think we slowed down the death rate? More people have died now under President Biden than did under President Trump. You are the one responsible. You are the architect. You are the lead architect for the response from the government. And now 800,000 people have died.
Right.
Do you think it's a winning success, what you've advocated for government?
Senator, first of all, if you look at everything that I said, you accuse me of in a monolithic way telling people what they need to do. Everything that I've said has been in support of the CDC guidelines. Wear a mask. Get boosted.
And you've advocated to make it coercive
and done by mandate. Right,
you've advocated that your infallible opinion be dictated by law.
Right. So, again, Madam Chair, I would like just a couple of minutes because
I just need a couple of minutes. Everything Rand Paul is saying is accurate. And they're trying to boost you again and again and again. Instead of Johns Hopkins, the bivalent booster, you know, how you're going to be able to talk people into it. Here's what you can say to people, the bivalent. And now it takes care of all the variants. All the variants. Doesn't matter that there's literally no data to show that it stopped hospitalizations or stopped you from dying. It certainly didn't stop transmission, did it? But hey, get more mRNA shots. Just keep doing it. I just got my bivalent booster. Have you gotten it yet? Come up to me and say that to me. This is an easy conversation opener that normalizes vaccination and doesn't place blame. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for normalizing. It's not a vaccine, but sure, you know. Anyone getting a COVID-19 booster shot is now getting a bivalent formula containing both the original and Omicron strains of the spike protein. Yay! So the terms can be used interchangeably. Just awesome. And Fauci still pushing this, still pushing all this. In fact, we're going to show you his successor. Basically talking about these same things. Get boosted. Get going.
This happens all the time. You personally attack me and with absolutely not a shred of evidence of anything you say. So I would like to make something clear to the committee. He's doing this for political reasons. What you need to do is he said in front of this committee.
You think your takedown of three prominent epidemiologists was not political?
You don't want me to finish, but you know what I'm going to say.
Senator, that was the question. Senator, were you political in taking down the three prominent epidemiologists?
Senator Paul, if you would please, I'm going to allow Dr. Fauci to respond. We have a number of senators who would like to ask questions, and I would like him to be able to respond. Please do so.
So the last...
Hey, thank you so much, because, you know, you're wearing a mask, too. I totally trust anything that you're going to bring to the table, Senator Murray.
time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there.
Oh, the crazies. The crazies that don't love Dr. Fauci. The crazies that aren't getting uplifted by his children's book promoting hate and lie shots. The crazies.
And I have life that threats upon my life.
Aww.
Harassment of my family.
Aww.
And my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, you know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. Well, it makes a difference because, as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C., at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci.
I mean, first of all, I live in Iowa. To get to D.C., that's another 14 hours. 14 hours. And he was going to kill Dr. Fauci? I don't know how you find Dr. Fauci. Absolutely insanity.
And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself, why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website and you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says, contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain.
Just insane. The one guy that steps up and goes after Fauci and obviously wants to fundraise. Of course, Fauci's like, oh, it's a political reason. No, no. All those other people that are your lapdogs, they're lapdogs for a political agenda, which is one of command and control in a biomedical tyranny and dictatorship, Fauci.
So the
you
only
have
thing
politically
that,
attacked
that
your
can,
colleagues and in a politically reprehensible
the
way
only thing
attack
that I
their reputation.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
you'll just
sorry,
simply turn
we're
around
going
the attack.
To continue this hearing. We have a number of questions
just
from other senators.
One more minute, please.
Fauci, I
really appreciate you. I love you, Fauci. I can't get enough of you, Fauci. Yuck. So this is the guy taking over for Fauci, and he's just going to spit every lie possible. He's going to talk about the efficacy of these boosters and other shots, and they're safe and effective. And it's like none of the VAERS data exists. Okay. It's like, even now, I mean, let me show you something. Okay. New studies clarify what drugs help or hurt for COVID-19. Now, this article is in July of 2020. This is when they're demonizing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, but they want you to take dextromethazone, which is a steroid that they're charging all sorts of money for. It's not even one of the good steroids. And then remdesivir and how great remdesivir is. And now they admit remdesivir shouldn't be used in hospital COVID-19 patients. WHO advises. Has no meaningful effect on mortality or reducing the need for mechanical ventilation, an expert panel said. None. Zip, zero, none. Just had to wait, 2 years. It's insanity. Okay. It's insane. But they continued to use it. They just continued to use it. No big deal. Worship Dr. Fauci. Yay. So I have this Face the Nation clip. And again, it's more lauding of Fauci. And maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we won't. We more than likely will. But before this, because we played the Lily Singh piece, I wanted to play a more mainstream piece, and it has Rand Paul in it talking about global governance at the end of it, via Fox News from months ago, and Jesse Waters. And Jesse Waters, I mean, he's okay. He's all right. He's a little straight-laced for me. And he buys, you know, he's pro-war, which I can't stand. You know, he's Mr. War over there. No mas. But this piece on world government, the Great Reset, is actually pretty good. So we're going to play it here.
Hundreds of gas-guzzling private jets took off this week as billionaires from all over the world jetted off to Davos, Switzerland, for the ritzy and glamorous World Economic Forum, a week-long event for the ruling class to talk down to the rest of us. And it's not for everybody. It's an invite-only event. And once you do get in, they divide you by class. You get a white badge with a blue line if you're rich enough. You just get a white badge if you're married to someone important. Or if you're just a part of someone's entourage, you get an ugly green badge. You're not good enough. They keep the elites together, and they have their own little police state to make sure these people are focused on ruling the world. If you're not from CNN or the New York Times and you show up uninvited, they'll probably arrest you. And it's all headed up by a guy named Klaus Schwab, who's pretty much running a one-world government here. He kicked off the week by saying the future is theirs, not yours.
The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world.
And the way they start is by tracking you. If you go deep in the weeds and what these people are saying at this place, they're openly scheming up some of the craziest plans you'll ever hear of, like tracking your carbon footprint.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform?
I mean, awesome. You suck. Your carbon footprint is the problem. We need less carbon footprints. Okay? You're the carbon they want to get rid of. You're the carbon they want to get rid of. Oh, we'll know where they go. We'll know what they eat. We'll know what's under the skin because we've got the Internet of Bodies. And we got bio-nanotech running through all these people.
So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned.
You heard it. The one world government wants to keep tabs on what you eat and where you go. All because John Kerry's a little mad that your cheeseburger is wiping out part of the population.
People forget greenhouse gases are pollution. And 15 million people a year die because of the quality of the air around the world. We're dealing with a crisis here, folks. It's a crisis made by human beings.
Maybe they should take their own advice before jetting off across the world on those private jets, emitting all that carbon. But to them, they have more important things to focus on, like preventing the next pandemic, since it worked out so well last time.
If it comes 10 years from now, we should have far, far better diagnostic technology. That is, be able to scale up every country within a month to diagnose their entire population. We're a little distracted right now, so getting the debate going is happening slowly.
Yeah, a lot of people are distracted by inflation, food shortages, you know, real problems. But the ruling class at Davos says, don't worry, it's all a part of the plan.
We need to accept that there will be some pain in the process.
Oh, there will be some pain in the process for the people. Okay, and just like John Kerry told you, it's the people that are causing the problem. It's the people, okay?
The pace that we need will open up for missteps. It will open up for shortages on energy. It will create inflationary pressures, and maybe we need to start talking about that pain is actually worth it.
If you have all the money in the world, the last thing you have to worry about is inflation. It's our problem, not theirs. They're busy ruling the world. And shady George Soros says if we don't make their ideas a reality, civilization is done for.
fighting pandemics and climate change, avoiding nuclear war, maintaining global institutions, have had to take a backseat to that struggle. That's why I say our civilization may not survive.
Somehow he's still surviving. I mean, if George Soros can survive, I think civilization's going to make it. That's just me. But again, it's always climate change. I'm kind of surprised that he talked about nuclear war. This is an older clip, but nuclear war just seems to be on the table at this point with these people.
Believe it when I tell you, these people don't care about any of us. They're just a bunch of globalists hanging out and coming up with too many bad ideas. Rand Paul, Kentucky senator, and he joins me now. Should the American people be scared when the richest people in the entire world get together at a swanky conference and hatch these crazy ideas about how to make our lives better?
You know, if they really cared, they could have ridden with me. I was on a plane this morning. I was A category on Southwest Airlines. And, you know, hey, that's something. Wasn't a private jet, but they could have saved. When you're on a private jet, they're spending five times as much of a carbon footprint. So if they really cared about that, they could ride on commercial airlines, but they aren't. They're elitist. But the other real danger here that's even more danger than all their phony caring about carbon footprint, the real danger is this. Look how bad your government is in a country where you get to vote for these people. This would be a government, a world government, where you don't get to vote on anybody. This is everybody's worst nightmare. The bureaucracy that we have trouble in our United States because we don't get to vote on them, we vote indirectly. Can you imagine the one world bureaucracy of all these elitists and their private jets that would rule our country and we wouldn't get to vote? So I'm dead set against this. And they used to call people who talked about one world government, they used to say, oh, it's a conspiracy. We would always say, no, it's in their mission statement.
Yes, it's in their mission statement. Global governance, one world government, a new world order.
Say it at every meeting, that's what they're for. But lack of sovereignty means lack of freedom, and it means lack of responsiveness, and it's completely antithetical to everything our country stands for.
Yeah, and I don't want to put down Bill Gates and these guys. You know, they do a lot for charity. But when you hear them kind of just dismiss.
I do. I don't think that they do a lot for charity. Jesse, this is one of your biggest blind spots. No, they set up these tax-free foundations, which shield them from ridicule and allow them to enrich themselves without paying any kind of taxes. And then they get to choose what their charities are going to be. These people don't care about us. God.
Inflation or, you know, you're going to have to go through some pain in order to kind of go with my idea. You know, the American people hear that and they think, come on, man, you're not serious, are you?
But it's not only insensitivity because they've never been to a grocery store and have no idea what things cost, but it's also that we now have a whole set of our political spectrum that's out there saying it's caused by greed. If you were in a third grade class, I would give you a failing grade if you told me inflation was caused by greed. That is the dumbest explanation, the most implausible, and that lacking all facts that someone would try to put forward. Inflation is caused by an increase in the money supply that increases the demand. It's done because we spend too much money. The Federal Reserve prints it up to borrow it. It floods the economy and drives prices up. If you don't understand that, they'll never get it any better. And my prediction is it's going to get a lot worse before November.
What do you think about this tracking technology they're cooking up? They're going to track your carbon footprint. I mean, I think that these liberals are already stressed out enough.
Globalists, not liberals, buddy. Okay. Again, this isn't about left or right. It's about right and wrong. It's about command and control. This is about collectivism. Right and left, it isn't about, Jesse.
Senator, imagine when they find out like everything they do is killing the ozone. I mean, they're going to go crazy. They're going to start yelling at us.
Yeah, privacy is not much of a concern for these kind of people. So not only do they want to track you for your carbon footprint, the WHO has announced, you know, they're forming a treaty, and it's going to be this treaty for the next pandemic.
but in the next pandemic, it's not going to be a Washington-based mandate on vaccines or a Washington-based social distancing or mask. It's going to be an international one, and they actually want to track everybody with a QRS code. I think that goes beneath the surface right back here, but I'm not sure how they get it in yet. But no, I mean, it's no laughing matter. It is very worrisome. But whenever they talk about it, they have absolutely no concern for privacy. And you're exactly right. They don't care about the individual. They don't know people like us. They've never been on a bus. They've never been on Southwest Airlines. They've never driven a car. Most of them have never even driven their own car.
I mean, think about how insane that is. One of the things I really enjoyed about the latest TruthStream media documentary about the king of the world, Prince Charles, sustainability, was the fact that they played these clips of how out of touch and how very little these people do. First of all, look up Groom of the Stool. Groom of the Stool. These people literally have people who shift or sift through their shit. You can't make this up. That's an actual position. That's an actual position. Drive a car. They don't do anything. They have no idea. They're totally and completely detached from reality. Completely detached from reality. All right, let's close this clip out, and then we're going to play some of this Fauci from Face the Nation.
So these are not the kind of people we want telling the rest of us what to do.
All right, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky.
No, we certainly do not want these people telling us what to do. So I'm going to go to this clip. We're going to do the watch along. Here it is. We're at least going to watch some of it. Dr. Fauci on his farewell tour. Before we play this clip, we got to show you this guy here. Again, this is the guy taking over Dr. Fauci. Let's go.
Well, hard to follow Dr. Fauci, who I would argue has been the most important consequential public servant in the United States in the last half century, and a leader and a role model for so many of us. So
a leader and a role model, most consequential over the last half century. Of course, he got his own child's book.
Tony, thank you. So thank you for reviewing the safety and effectiveness data. I will tell you, it is remarkable to me what data have come in the last month. I was here in front of all of you a couple of months ago talking about what we expected. All of the evidence that has come in the last month has far exceeded our expectations.
Total lie. All of the evidence. Again, they're telling you it's the best thing since breakfast this week. This week, they're still trying to sell you on hate and lie shots.
On the efficacy of these vaccines. And the safety data continues to be terrific. Today, I want to focus on a new six-week sprint that the administration is announcing to get more Americans their updated shots before the cold and winter season really settles in.
Six-week sprint. This is their propaganda campaign, and they're open about it.
Now, I want to start off by saying we are heartened to say that we are not alone in this effort. Just yesterday, 12 of America's leading medical and clinical societies, I'm talking about the AMA, I'm talking about American College of Physicians, the American Association of Family Physicians, I'm not going to list them all 12, but they all joined together with one simple, strong recommendation for all Americans, which is go get your updated COVID vaccine shot. And go get your annual flu shot.
That should tell you every single one of those organizations is completely and totally compromised and should not be listened to at all, ever.
Right away. Now, why did they do that? Why did America's physicians, speaking as a unified voice,
my ass,
say that? Because they know the best way to save lives this holiday season is to ensure that all Americans, particularly seniors, get their updated COVID vaccine and their flu vaccine. Now, we've already had 35 million Americans have gotten their updated COVID vaccine, including 16 million seniors. And we are encouraged by steady and strong week-by-week numbers. We're seeing about 4 to 5 million Americans getting it every week. But we are working hard to reach even more Americans, especially older, more vulnerable Americans. So as I said, today we're launching a six-week sprint to help Americans get their updated shot by
2 weeks to slow the spread, six-week sprint.
The end of the year. As part of this effort, with our limited resources that we have, we are making a series of announcements and a series of efforts to expand community-based COVID-19 vaccine efforts. So let me lay out some of them. We're announcing $350 million in funding to help community health centers meet people where they are with facts, with vaccines, through proven methods like partnerships with faith-based groups and mobile vaccine clinics. We're announcing an
mobile vaccine clinics for this. And again, none of these are vaccines. They're not vaccines at all. And this guy told you the efficacy and the safety. Oh, and now we're going to have campaigns all across media.
Additional $125 million to help local aging and disability networks to get older and more vulnerable and disabled Americans vaccinated. This will include efforts at senior centers across our great country. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, is going to be issuing guidance today, reminding nursing homes that they are required to educate their residents on the benefits of COVID-19 vaccines.
Think about that. You're required at nursing homes where people are some of the most vulnerable out there to tell them about the benefits of these hate and lie shots. The benefits, not the realities. They're required to by law. And he's got a little like gangster kick after this, being like, you better go along with it.
And they are required to offer vaccines to residents.
Oh.
And nursing homes that don't do these very basic things will be referred for greater oversight and possibly face enforcement actions.
Possibly face enforcement actions if you don't tell people to get the shot and then provide the shots there. Wow.
We're doubling down on our trusted messengers work because we know that makes a difference. We're working with national and local organizations, state and public health departments, pharmacies. You're going to hear schools and colleges and universities announce that they're hosting clinics. All of this, we think, is going to make a difference. Also, what will make a difference is more paid media efforts by the Department of Health and Human Services, designed to reach tens of millions of Americans.
Paid media efforts. That's why I still got to watch Elmo getting shots with his dad. And again, it's okay to have questions as long as those questions lead you to injecting your children again with hate and lies. As long as you end up going along with the narrative, it's okay to have questions. It's not okay for nursing homes, however, not to push these shots on their seniors. Lovely.
For instance, that are watching the World Cup through television and through digital ads. Bottom line is that we're doing everything we can in the next 6 weeks to help families get their updated COVID shots by the end of the year, because it's the best protection for this winter. And remember, for a majority of Americans, this is going to be a once-a-year shot. One COVID shot, once a year, just like the flu shot.
Told you it was the forever shot. I warned everybody it was 3 to 5 to start, and then the forever shot. The forever shot.
Now, while I'm encouraged by the work that so many are doing, we need everybody to step up. We need to make protecting our loved ones an important part of the conversation we have around the Thanksgiving table, an important part of the conversation we have in the days and weeks ahead. Because here's what we know. If folks get their updated vaccines and they get treated, they have a breakthrough infection, we can prevent...
Breakthrough infection, it's not a real thing either. Again, these are just semantics, Bernaysian talking points. That's what you're hearing here. And this is just total and straight up lies.
Essentially every COVID death in America. That is a remarkable fact 2.5 years after we found this virus first in our country. But it's going to take all of us to make that happen. So please don't wait. Get your COVID shot. Get your flu shot. That's why God gave you two arms. You can one in each arm if you want.
Are you listening to this fucking crazy person? I'm sorry. I dropped an F-bomb there. I try to keep it as family friendly as possible. That's why God gave you two arms so you could take the new flu shot, which is also mRNA, and what, the hate and lie shot for COVID-19 on the other side. Just wow.
Go to vaccines.gov and let's do everything we all can to protect the American people. Thank you.
That's the new Fauci. There he is. And so I want to play this. I want to get it to where she just gushes over Fauci right here. To begin this.
Get your medical advice off the top. We have this trifecta of RSV, flu and COVID. So what are the risks for people congregating this season?
Well, the risk depends on what your status of vaccination is. We have
so again, now RSV is a respiratory virus, a pneumonia type virus that's now exploded for some reason. Okay. I wonder why. And this guy, again, it all starts and ends with your vaccination status. Bullshit. They still, years later, refuse to talk about natural immunity whatsoever. They act like it doesn't exist for the first time in history.
Two of the three of the trifecta that you're talking about, we have vaccinations for, clearly COVID, particularly with the updated boosters that are now available. We have vaccinations for influenza. We're already starting to see an early surge of both flu and RSV. We don't have a vaccine for RSV. This is particularly problematic for children 5 years of age and younger and for the elderly. But there are things you can do with RSV, is avoid congregate settings, and particularly if you have a cold or if you're sneezing, and stay home, wear a mask.
So stay home and wear a mask now if you have RSV.
Wash your hands. You know, we've kind of forgotten about the washing your hands and things like that, because unlike the other viruses, respiratory syncytial virus can actually remain on hands and on inanimate objects, and then it could be transmitted. Mm-hmm. So vaccinate for the things you can vaccinate for, and that's flu and COVID. Good respiratory hygiene for RSV. And
good respiratory hygiene apparently means wearing a mask.
Common sense things, like when you have congregate settings and you're in a situation, not mandating masks, that's got right. Radioactive to it. Just use common sense that you might want to, in a certain situation, particularly if you're yourself vulnerable by age or by medical condition, or you have someone in your family. So those are the things you want to do. The other thing that we don't want to forget about is testing. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do mostly with COVID.
You said last time, test going in and test coming out.
Again, total and complete insanity. You know how many COVID tests I took? Zero. I took zero COVID tests. You think I was going to jam something up my schnoggle so it could possibly touch my brain? I don't know how people didn't see past that aspect. I thought that was pretty bizarre. First time that these people in mass wanted to physically torture you to test you for a virus. Be a fraudulent system, the PCR test. Totally and complete insanity. But hey, we live in this cartoon.
Exactly. And that's the point. So when you're going to be congregate setting for family issues like Thanksgiving, like Christmas and the holidays, it just makes sense that if you're going to have people coming in, since the tests are widely available, you can get the result in 10 to 15 minutes, test yourself before you congregate with people, particularly when you're having someone over for dinner, 5, 10, 15, 20 people. It's mm-hmm. easy to do.
I want to ask you about RSV, though, specifically with little kids. These infections are overwhelming pediatric hospital wards yes. around the country. The Children's Hospital Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics.
And we're running out of antibiotics. So bizarre that all these young children are getting this when you promoted hate and lies shots on guess who? Young children. But again, you're not allowed to make those associations. And, you know, again, you think this woman's going to make that association? No, she loves Dr. Fauci, America's doctor.
Say it's a public health emergency. Is it an emergency?
Yeah. Well, it is if in fact, which in some regions of the country, we're seeing that the hospital system for pediatrics are at the point of almost being overwhelmed. When you have very little wiggle room of intensive care beds, when you have like almost all the intensive care beds that are occupied, it's bad for the children who have RSV and need intensive care, but it also occupies all the beds, and children who have a number of other diseases that require intensive care or ICU, mm-hmm. they don't have the bed for it. So if you get to that situation, that's approaching an emergency. So when the nurses and the pediatric associations are saying this is really critical, it is. Hopefully, we're going to see that peak come down, because if you look at other countries that have had those kinds.
Look, this guy is the absolute worst. Why aren't we asking why we have a bunch of sick children? Okay. No, instead, they're pushing these booster shots on your kids, on your kids. Okay. Boosters are recommended for anyone over 5 years old who has already received the primary shots. Yay! As long as it's 2 months since your last COVID-19 shot and 3 months since you had a COVID-19 infection. Again, they are totally and completely disregarding natural immunity for anything now. For anything. That should alarm everybody. Everybody. But apparently, no big deal. No big deal. I think it's a big deal. Call me wild. Call me kooky. Oh, boy, folks. This has been a rough run for me. I'm sure you can kind of see me glistening a little bit, but I'm sweaty. I'm hot. I'm sick. Who knows? You know, if the authoritative sources were out there, I've had the scratchy throat. Okay. I've had the chills and the sweats, and I would assume the fever. I could have the COVID-1984. And apparently I'm not safe until I inject myself five times. Five times. But then it's not going to stop me from getting this anyway. Just keep me out of the hospital, which I'm not going to the hospital. Instead, I'm doing this talk show. Right. But there's no reason to get mixed up with reality or facts or any of that, right? No biggie. Oh, just wild. Just wild. Folks, I may end up wrapping this one up somewhat early. I do want to go over a few of the ways that you can share the broadcast, you can support the show, and how you can support me directly. And one of those ways is to share my documentary films. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. And you probably say to yourself, well, Jason, how does that support you? Don't you give these away for free? It supports all of us when we get truthful information out to other people. And that information goes beyond the current political spectrum. All right? That's the big benefit. And then more and more people sharing those things has a more and more awake populace. So maybe we can fight back against people like Tony Fauci, who's just a front man, a middleman, you know, still out and about on the scene, pumping out the true misinformation, the true disinformation. And this is what bothers me, man. They're hurting people. These people are responsible for a genocide the likes the world has never seen globally. And in a lot of cases, it's a slow kill genocide. It's that next generation warfare. I'm still getting messages and DMs. I've got to check out Died Suddenly. I haven't yet. But one of the things that I initially discussed when these shots were rolling out is we're really going to see the effects of these things 3 to 5 years down the line. And that doesn't mean in my view that, you know, everybody that took these shots in 3 to 5 years is going to die. Okay. But we already have an increase in all levels of mortality, all mortality cases by 15%. I think that will gradually move up, unfortunately, especially if people are injecting themselves with the bivalent boosters. Okay. But I also think that we are going to have more and more cases of autoimmune disorders and other health issues, including neurological ones. And that's dangerous. That's so dangerous. Because when you no longer have a coherent populace and you have more and more reasons to medicate that populace, right? You have more and more of an ability to get involved in the intimate aspects of human beings everywhere, bringing it back to the internet of bodies, right? You've got to take this medication. And by the way, we're going to know you took this medication because it's on a time release. Oh, all right, guys. I think I'm going to wrap it up, man. I'm sweating. I'm gross. I promise you, as long as I'm not passing out tomorrow or throughout the day, I'll do the full 2 hours tomorrow. Once again, there's a new second hour that's available. Please email the links out to people. We're on social media at Jason Burmess almost everywhere. I absolutely love you guys. Thanks, and I will see you on the flip side.